Hey guys, welcome back to Gals. I am so excited for our next guest. We have been trying to book her. She is so busy and she's just killing it on all fronts. We have Katie Stone Perez, who is a senior program manager for ID at Xbox team. Please welcome Katie Stone Perez.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
I heard that stutter. Producer, program manager. So we want to know, what is a program manager, first of all?
Well, a program manager at Microsoft, first off, the definition of a program manager is different. Every single company,
yes,
every single
even true.
Job description within a company. But within my current role today, I really help run the day-to-day business of ID at Xbox and third-party digital publishing.
Mm-hmm.
So really helping make sure that our developers have a successful journey ahead of them. So,
nice.
But on a producer, I've been a producer for many years at Xbox as well, and that tends to be more game-related, where it has more game design impact.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we've invited Katie because she is a host of one of our shows, Level Up. She also had a Microsoft Stories written about her recently, where they came and took pictures and followed her in the day in the life of, and it was beautifully written and looks awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah, we'll deep dive into that. But first, we want to get to know the Katie that wasn't written in the Stories article, because you have a crazy background and where you started and what you studied at school. So let's go back to the beginning. And I guess the first thing, since you work at Xbox, is were you always into games?
Yeah.
As a kid?
Yeah. As a kid, I actually grew up playing games. My little brother and I gamed a lot. Our neighbors, I grew up on a street with a lot of boys, and mm-hmm. so I actually played with the boys a lot more than I played with the girls on the street, and mm-hmm. we ended up playing a lot of video games. And actually, my neighbor boys at one point decided to get smart and say that I couldn't play the Nintendo unless I kissed them.
Oh.
And so I quickly marched back to my house and said, "Mom, I need my own Nintendo."
Love it.
So, but yeah, I have a ton of really fond memories as a kid gaming and writing Bubble Bobble codes on my mom's wall that she didn't know about until we moved like 15 years later, and there were all these like game codes written on the wall in crayon.
Wow.
But
so when you were a kid, were you like, "I want to be working in the game industry"?
No.
Nothing.
I mean, I didn't even realize that that was a job, to be
yeah.
completely honest. Even in college, I didn't realize that that was really mm-hmm. a job that I could go and do. And it was just something I stumbled into, but mm-hmm. kind of once I stumbled into it, I loved it. In fact, when I met the recruiter at Microsoft and they said, "Oh, you're going to be interviewing with the Xbox team," I was like, "Oh, okay, if I fail that one, can I have like a different option to go
yeah.
and try?" Because my assumption was to work in the Xbox team, I was gonna have to be super hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
And although I'm very much a gamer, I definitely wasn't someone, you know, winning the local Street Fighter championship.
Yeah, so, for sure.
And that was kind of my assumption of what everybody was gonna be.
So did you go from like high school to university, or did you have a break, or directly into that?
Yeah, no, I went straight. So I pretty much knew I wanted to do child psychology. So I went straight from high school into university mm-hmm. and started studying child psychology right out of the gate. Like started freshman quarter, I was in Psych 101 and kind of off on that path mm-hmm. and just started straight away.
What university?
University of Washington.
Well, that's convenient.
So I'm a Husky. Duh.
So in your like senior year, the Microsoft recruiters came up to you, or did you go to like a fair? Or?
Yeah, so really, so interesting. So Microsoft actually, when they started doing work in the Xbox space, they started having undergrads come and actually do usability testing on other competitive games and things like that out there. So they actually hired psychology majors to actually come over and run the tests, because
wow.
we actually knew how to run tests and collect data and, mm-hmm. and do all that kind of work. And so I was doing that, so that kind of exposed me to the opportunity of Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And then funny enough, one of my sorority sisters was actually on the UW hockey team. She was the only girl on the hockey team.
Wow.
And so we were there cheering her on, and there was a UW recruiter at the hockey match and was like, "Oh, you should come interview." And I was like, "Really?" He was like, "Yeah, what about like a testing position?" And I was like, "I don't know anything about testing.
Yeah.
Like, can I get a book on it?"
Yeah.
Like, so he told me the name of a book, and I read it and passed the phone interview and passed my interviews. And
joined as a tester? Or
yeah, started
really?
As a tester. Yeah.
So what does a tester do?
The like, ultimate video game job, right?
So you play the video game.
You
say,
play,
like, this is buggy or something?
Yeah, so you're playing the game literally hours. And
wow.
it's funny because I would call home to my brother. So we were launching. I was there for the launch of Xbox, which was amazing. It was super fun. And we were working insane hours, like seriously working like 120 hours a week at some
wow.
points. And I'd call my brother and I'm like, "We're working so much." And he's like, you're getting paid to play video games.
Be quiet.
Like,
shut up.
And I was like,
don't talk.
Okay, legit. Like, I'll just be quiet now. And it was really fun. And
what do you mean? Like, you're playing it and then you, like, make a note that, oh, this level, this part's wrong? Or how?
Well, yeah. So you're looking for all kinds of different things. So you'd be looking, like, we ended up having audio glitches. We'd be looking at the difficulty. So is it actually too difficult? So one of the things, like, I started on the team and all of the AI, the artificial intelligence characters, would just annihilate me. Mm-hmm. Even if I was playing on easy. So I was like, I think we got to tone that down.
That's like a reason I stopped playing games. It's like, I can't get past the level. I'm like, all right, I'm over it. And then I stopped playing it for a long time.
Yeah. And so that's actually one of the things where, even though I had a very different background and a very different profile than a lot of the people I was surrounded with, I felt like I was really bringing something to the table because I had such a different gaming experience. So even like the first time, like we were looking at game menus for sports games, and you all kind of move to the different sides to kind of pick your team. But I had just never seen that UI before. So I was like, what am I supposed to do? Because it wasn't clearly called out. And they're like, oh, well, you're supposed to do that. And I was like, well, where does it say that on the screen?
Home
and
like, away. It should
and
be
they're like
very
well,
visible.
You just like know, right? Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, I didn't know that, right? Mm-hmm. So there's so many things that we do within video games where we assume that you've been on this video game tutorial journey with us. And I think it's really important. Ken Lobb said recently a statement that I really agree with, that we have to think about every single game we make as if it's someone's first time playing a game and make them successful in that
experience.
Oh, for sure.
That's exactly how you should look at it,
Yeah, so I think for me, coming in with that different background, it was really an asset, actually, because I was able to kind of, and then I was in a situation where I could voice my opinion and people really were listening to it in terms of what I thought should be changed. But yeah, you're playing through, I mean, we would do all kinds of funny things. I am like throwing tea at me.
Everyone throw your coffee around.
I am leaking. But yeah, we would, we'd have to go through sessions where we'd try and like jump on each other's heads to like make it out of the skybox and get stuck in the in the collision, look at all the collision boundaries. We'd have to just look at if the scoring was working in all the games and stuff like that. So there's a ton of testing that actually goes into video games and making them
so
successful.
So you'd come in the morning, turn on an Xbox console, and play?
And play.
That's crazy to
me.
Wow.
My wrists actually are sore now when I play video games.
Oh, my God.
I think because I played so much.
120 hours a week of it for
how
many
years? Yeah, it was insane. We were sleeping in our offices.
Yeah, that sounds
fun. It was really fun. We have, like, Nerf gun fights at, like, 2 a.m. and that kind of stuff. So it was a really fun environment.
And then from
Tester,
where was the...
Yeah, so
transition.
I pretty quickly identified that I wanted to be a producer. And so I actually had an amazing producer I worked with, Shona Davenport, and she was just an amazing mentor to me. And so on the next project, so we shipped Fusion Frenzy, which was one of the first Xbox games, and then we started working on Kung Fu Chaos. And so on Kung Fu, she kind of took me under her wing and let me have a couple special projects and things like that. And I got to really kind of get my taste for the producer role and absolutely loved it and really wanted to pursue that. And there was honestly, I went to my senior program manager over there at the time and said, hey, I really want to do this. And he was like, we think you're amazing, but we kind of have a really long line of candidates out the door.
To be a producer.
To be a producer here, you know, because there was so much, you know, Xbox had just started and Microsoft was huge and there were so many people within Microsoft that were interested in coming over. So he said, you know, I don't want to discourage you, like we'll help support you, but maybe look around the company and see if there's another team that would have, you know, a lower level producer role that would open up. So I looked around and I found another team, the Microsoft Gaming Zone, MSN Games at the time. And I just felt like it would be a really good fit and I found a manager I love, Jason Pace. And I kind of stalked Jason for a year, actually. So I would go over and I would have lunch with him and say, hey, what are you working on? What are your biggest challenges right now? What technologies should I be studying? Like, what do I need to do so that when you get a job, you know, I'm in the loop. And so it was, I think, 12 to 14 months of doing that. And he had a position.
Until he had an opening?
Yeah.
So, wow, you planted the seed and then walked away.
You just have to be persistent. So
that's cool.
Yeah, but it paid off.
And then you did the MSN games for how long?
Yeah, so I started there, and that's really where my career really had this amazing kind of inflection point. So I was only on the team about 3 months, and then that team decided to look at creating this concept of Xbox Live Arcade. And so that was bringing digital content like we saw on MSN Gaming Zone, Bejeweled and all these puzzle games, and content that was more casual and wasn't on the console at that point, and they wanted to bring it to console. Well, because I had just come from Xbox, I had this great experience on what an Xbox game should be. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to let me be the PM on
the
project. Wow,
that's perfect. Everything that you did in the past just rolled over perfectly for this role.
It was perfect. And they were insane because I was this really unproven producer, yes. right, to give this project to. But I was so passionate about it, and I just absolutely loved it, and we just formed an amazing team, and so I have so many fond memories of Xbox Live Arcade and the family that we created, really within the Microsoft team as well as within our developers. I am still very good friends with, you know, developers that started developing for us on Xbox Live Arcade, you know, over 10 years ago.
Wow.
So.
And then from Xbox Live Games you went to?
So from there, I actually did some work with Mark Witten, looking at a bunch of our live portfolio stuff and looking at some of our family-friendly stuff. Uh-huh. I helped actually with Avatars and helping pitch the concept of Avatars and getting that approved. And then I actually went over and joined the incubation team, working with Alex Kipman as an executive producer. So it was
Kinect. And,
yeah. Okay. So we were the team where we were just investigating what we wanted to do next. And so we found the Kinect technology and investigated it. So I got to actually lead I created the very first game prototype with that team.
How does that process work? You just go to like MSR and like, oh, that's really cool technology. Now let's grab it and go think about what we can do.
Yeah, so people had kind of floated it as, we wonder if there's anything interesting here. And mm-hmm. so they kind of gave it to us as a team to investigate. And we saw the demos and things that were in place, but there was really no skeletal tracking system using it, right? It was this very rough kind of motion tracking. And so the precision wasn't there. But we could see that if we built a skeletal tracking system to partner with the technology, what it would be like. Mm-hmm. And we could also see that there were game experiences that we just hadn't seen come to life yet, mm-hmm. you know, that the precision that we had seen in games, even using just motion, was nothing with what we could do if we actually had a skeletal system. Mm-hmm. So it was a huge undertaking, honestly. Yeah. You know, we got Kinect out the door in 18 months. And to, you know, build that entire skeletal tracking system, there were a lot of challenges. In fact, it was kind of funny being on the team as a woman. You know, a lot of the guys would come in every day and they'd all be wearing t-shirts and jeans. And so the skeletal tracking would work really well for them. But as a woman, I was always wearing, you know, different kind of outfits, and I had flowy arms and skirts and all this kind of stuff.
That's so funny.
And so I'd have to start most of my days in Claude's office, sitting there, you know, doing a T-pose and actually, you know, dancing around so that they could have data of what my outfit looked like. And there was a funny moment where we finally had skeletal tracking really working well. And I was actually probably about 7 or 8 months pregnant. And we ended up making a video. It was called Katie Pregnant in a Skirt. It was like, it's probably not the best thing to name a video.
Yeah.
But it showed that, like, I was very pregnant and I had a skirt. So you had, you know, my legs occluded, right? And you just kind of saw, like, my feet, right? But it could still fully track me.
Oh, my God. So if you weren't on the team, they wouldn't have been able to do that. That's crazy.
So it was fun. Yeah. So my little one was, like, our first like, little baby skeletal track.
Aww.
Going awesome. Through that and stuff. So it was funny. And even, like, the very first time we built, we were working with a team and built a system where we could actually do retargeting. So we could actually take the skeletal system and target it onto an avatar so that then as you're moving your arms, mm-hmm. your avatar is moving and things like that. And we were doing it for a demo on stage. Mm-hmm. And so the guys had tried it, and I went and stood up in front of it, and all of a sudden the thing fell over forward. And it's because it hadn't accounted for my breasts, and so it thought my breasts were my shoulders. And so the whole thing just, like, slunched
the
forward.
The skeleton just all over, falling
like,
apart.
Doesn't know what to do.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so.
That's great. Oh, that's a great story.
That is. That's a really good story.
There's some funny moments.
Yeah. And it wouldn't have happened if Katie wasn't on that team. So that worked out. What was the first game from the Xbox Live or the Kinect?
The pack-in. So I actually worked on the technology, not the game.
Oh, the game. Okay.
Yeah, but the pack-in title for it was actually Kinect Adventures, which is a great game.
Yeah, that was a great one. So, oh, that's so fun. And then from there, were you still in the incubation?
Yeah, so then we went off to incubate HoloLens technology, which is
a long
incubation. So that was amazing. That was another one, you know, with not having a background in computer science, you know, I would end up in some conversations around, you know, the optics of HoloLens. I'd be like, oh my God. You know, because you're literally working with, like, rocket scientists and, like, these amazing engineers.
What's something that you showed them that they didn't think of?
Well, I think a lot of just different experiences on how the technology could be used and things like that, right? Even with some of the investigations around like patenting work and things like that, like as a mom, like with a daughter with like food sensitivities, like I was like, oh, how amazing would it be that like I could just walk through a grocery store and actually see like what foods like she could actually eat versus me having to like flip over every box and like, you know, things like that where you're like, where I think I just have a different perspective that I could kind of bring to the table. So
I mean that Microsoft Stories where there's a picture of you in your office and a whole bunch of patent cubes.
Yeah.
How many do you have?
Around like 80 to 90, I think. So
That's crazy.
Amazing. So,
how is that process? Is it
It's fun. So, I mean, we spend a lot of, when we're investigating new technology, we want to just make sure that we're really thinking about opportunities. Because, again, Microsoft is such a large company, even though we're in the gaming side of the world, you know, it's such a huge company. And so we were looking at things on, you know, I actually have a background in American Sign Language. And so we were like, oh, even with like Kinect, like, how do you use that with American Sign Language and things like that. So we would go off and do these amazing prototypes. And one of the things that I really loved is how the incubation team operates. It's really a fail-fast model where failure is a viable option and it's not like something you have to fear. It's totally okay to go off and do these crazy incubations and get these experiences and see if they would be successful in interesting businesses for the company. And it's okay to go through the prototype and come out at the end and saying we failed. And we did that a couple times, but we also had a lot of amazing successes. And I think operating in that space where you have so many, I mean, really incredibly smart people at the table who are so passionate about it and can just work together in this really fearless space, I think really produces tremendous results.
That's a perk of working in a big company, too, is you can go get a whole bunch of patents and have your name written because it's expensive to get a patent.
It
is time-consuming, but if that's your job and they do all that paperwork for you, it's awesome. You end up with 80 to 100
There's
patents.
There's still lots of paperwork and lots
of
phone calls.
Yeah, okay. All right. I thought it'd be easier.
Lots of phone calls and lots of reviewing of very long documents.
Wow, so. That's crazy. So now that you're on the Xbox, ID at Xbox team.
And third-party
So did you go back to being like in that world of game development? Were you done with like coming up with new technology? Were you like, all right, I want to go back to games?
I love the tech space. So for me, you know, I had a personal situation where my little brother was very sick and I had adopted my little brother. And he was very, very sick at the time and was in hospice and had just a few months left. And so as much as I loved the incubation space, the hours that we were putting in, you know, and it just wasn't compatible. And I had a 9-month-old at home at the same time, too, and was pregnant with my second. So it was a lot at once. And so I really just decided that it would be better to kind of switch into a little bit easier role at the time. So I actually went back over and joined the first party game side. And we created a really amazing technology I'm really proud of called the Community Meld that actually pulls community and helps drive engagement right from within the game itself. It's actually something I think is really, it's still, I actually am so proud of Meld. I loved the team we worked with. It was so fun to build that product. But I'm really proud of the results of the product as well because I think it really does drive engagement in a way that we just don't see a lot of games delivering. And basically what it does is it's kind of like a digital magazine. So in a lot of video games, you end up, you know, getting stuck or you want information, you have to go to Facebook or you have to go to Twitter or you have to go to their websites or their forums or things like that. And this pulled all that information directly into the game itself. So for me, that was a really fun project to get to go work on, and I think we delivered something awesome. And then Chris Charla went and started the ID at Xbox project, and I had worked with Chris previously. And so I love the indie space and had worked with many indie developers doing XBLA. So I was like, hey, like as soon as you get something over there, let me know.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, the indie devs are the best.
Yeah.
I went to GDC with you, and that was just so fun talking to them. They're so excited.
There's so much passion and the stories that come across and just the content they're creating. I mean, I couldn't even, within an hour, name every single person that, you know, I love within the indie space because the passion that you have from these developers and what they're doing. We have so many developers right now that are, you know, taking so much of their time to just make this world a better place, mm-hmm. either through the stories that they're telling or, you know, trying to help specific audiences. We have several developers that are doing things for, you know, people who are sick in hospital or kids with cancer and things like that. And it's just such a wonderful place to be in because it's just such a pure spirit.
It's, yeah, it's totally passion driven. Oh, it's so, not like yeah. money hungry, like trying to make it. They just want to do it because it's like something that I talked to one and he was like, yeah, I quit my job. I was making good money, but I really, really was passionate about making yeah. this story and making yeah. this game. And I was like, oh my God, that's awesome. That's
yeah.
crazy.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the Microsoft stories. How did they pick you? And how did they, like, what was that photo shoot like? And let's put some B-roll over this, of those pictures. And then tell us how that came about.
They just brought it up to me and suggested it that we should do it. So again, getting everyone into video games is a really big passion piece for me. Getting more women into the gaming space is something I'm super passionate about. You know, since I started and was kind of, you know, didn't see other people like me all yeah. around me, you know, when I started. So that's really important to me. And again, I think too, like we talked about, like it wasn't something I thought I'd go and do, and now I love it, and mm-hmm. I cannot imagine doing anything else. It just fills my heart so completely, and so I just want other people out there to know that this is a real possibility, and that you can have wonderful, successful careers. I've been able to, you know, be the mom I want to be, right?
And have 100 patents.
Yeah.
So you've proved it. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can do it. And so I just like getting that story out there. So I was very honored to be picked, but it's kind of crazy, right? To go through an interview like that and have them ask you all the questions mm-hmm. and I wasn't really used to, you know, talking about myself like that. So it was an interesting process to go through. And the photo shoot was crazy, actually. Went and, you know, got a personal shopper at Nordstrom's, which was super fun. And if you've never done it, it's like so amazing.
That's awesome.
You have to do it. And you don't, and okay, I ended up buying way more stuff than I would have bought otherwise. But you don't pay extra for it. It's just like this amazing service. And
oh, really?
Like,
the shopper, just, yeah. she just helps you?
She just helps you, yeah. yeah. And then it's amazing. It's like the best thing ever.
Oh,
you have to do it.
I need
you
to
like,
go
can't,
that
you
right
can't
now.
Go back, though.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. You're
just,
yeah.
My sister, she finds me amazing shoes,
yeah,
too.
My sister is my personal shopper.
Yeah,
so I go to the nursery with her. She's just pulling things off the shelf. You need this. You need this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't want to spend any more money. But yeah.
Yeah, so that was really crazy fun. And then for me, they were like, well, what, you know, for the photo shoot, what is really, you know, what are you really about? What are you really passionate about? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I'm a mom.
Yeah.
That's, you know, family, like yeah. my kids are, you know, and my husband, like I'm so blessed with my family. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, my proudest accomplishment out of everything is my kids, mm-hmm. like, and who they are and the amazing little beings they are. and we all game together, right?
Yeah.
And so, and my daughters are, you know, making their own video game designs and, you know, I'll go out to brunch with girlfriends and come home, and my husband's a game designer, so I come home to, like, this amazing design of, like, a level or a video game or something that they've drawn out together. Mm-hmm. So. So they decided that they loved that kind of aspect, and so we decided to go and shoot photos not only in my office, but then do my family photos out at a farm that we go to a lot.
Oh,
so,
that's
yeah.
so personal. I love it.
Yeah. That spot is actually my oldest daughter. We have mysteriously, the teddy bears every year on her birthday decide to have a teddy bear picnic there. Mm-hmm. And so so that spot, that little kind of beautiful area with the stream and all of the trees is kind of hidden away, and that just happens to be where the teddy bears
are. I love how she doesn't say which farm. She's just like, a farm, we're not going to
spoil it. Feral McWhorter in Redmond.
I'm going there this
it's
weekend.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's actually like the most, especially if you have really littles, it's the most amazing place because they have like one cow and a couple goats and a couple chickens. And so like with toddlers, it was like awesome to just go there and let them, you know, run around. And,
yeah.
So
what's, what do you see from like when you first joined and now? Do you see more women in the
oh,
game
definitely.
Okay,
so oh, yeah. So
last 15
many.
Years, it's just blown up.
And, yeah, you know. I think there's a lot more, although I still see challenges within the space. Mm-hmm. I think that we've come a tremendous way. I think, too, you know, I had a lot of options to leave the company, and I chose to stay at Microsoft, and I've been here for 15 years, and I'm really happy with that choice. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I knew that I wanted to have kids. That was going to be a big part of who I am. And so having the support of Microsoft to do that and our great benefits and all of that, I think, has been tremendous. And the benefits have only gotten better mm-hmm. over the years. So I think that kind of level of support has been amazing. I think that the game industry in general, like, we still are very crunch-focused mentality as an industry. Mm-hmm. And so that honestly, you know, when I was especially in that rougher period, right, with Jeff being so sick and having my family that I need to think about, you know, I really did have to navigate that very specifically, right? And some people were even like, well, why are you taking, you know, instead of an executive producer position, why are you taking this, you know, job over here? And I'm like, well, because this is what I need to do for my family right now because of how our industry works and the crunch in the industry. Mm-hmm. So, but for me, I've been very happy with the choices I've made. I feel like the last couple years in Xbox especially, there's so much support for getting everyone's voice heard. Mm-hmm. And it really makes me proud of us as a company because it's not just getting more women in games, it's just getting more thought. More people with different styles, more people with different gaming experience, more people, you know, all of these different things. You know, as we talked about, you know, when I was playing the game and I was like, oh, I didn't know this or that. It's having those people be a part of creating the technology that makes the technology better for everybody. You know, we always talk about, you know, accessibility and how interestingly it is that, you know, when you actually go through and make your experiences and think about explicitly someone who's deaf or someone who's has these other challenges, right, you actually end up making a better experience for everyone else because there's so many other people that benefit from those technologies. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I really think that by just having a more inclusive team and being more open to different perspectives that we can just make better products. And I think we still have a long way to come as an industry. There's still so much opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was awesome. I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish I knew you could be a game tester when I was in college. I regret that now.
There you go.
I might join the Xbox team as a tester. So let's end with a message to younger women and what you want to get across to them.
So I would just say, you know, think about technology as a serious option and don't be afraid of it. So realize that it might not be perfect the first time you go and do it, but you know, Monet wasn't perfect the first time he went to paint either. And so that's one of the things I get when I talk with a lot of girls is, oh, you know, I tried it, but I wasn't instantly awesome at it. And don't feel like you have to be instantly awesome because that doesn't really exist. Like, you have to work at things. And as long as you really believe in yourself and are willing to put in the effort, you can totally do it. So, okay.
That was awesome. That's exactly the message I wanted to get across, but very well said. So that works out. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It was a blast.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Katie. And if you haven't already, check out her show on Channel 9, Level Up. I'll put the link right in here. And also check out her article that Microsoft featured with her. Thank you so much, and that's another episode of Gals.